St. Mary's basketball on WFMD, the Mount at American University. Tonight, starting at 6:40 on 930 WFMD and on the WFMD app.
At WFMD, it's the Morning News Express, and we are joined by the County Executive Jan Gardner via the telephone at 301-694-WFMD. If you got any questions, we'll be glad to pass them along and put you on the air with her. And you can also shoot us one by the 930 WFMD Vet Urgency text line at 301-694-9363. And we mentioned this off the air. We haven't talked since you actually won the election, County Executive Gardner, but congratulations on your second term.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to have won the election. I can't really believe I haven't talked to you since then, but I guess we have delayed a conversation. But I'm glad the election is behind us and we're back to work. We've had the inauguration and we have a new county council, and I look forward to working with them.
Well, that's one of my questions, working with the new county council. What do you think about the makeup of the county council?
Well, I think the new county council will be very good. I think they'll be easy to work with. I think they'll be civil. They'll focus on the merits of issues. Obviously, they've only had a couple of meetings yet so far, so we haven't really got to see much of action yet. But I am now having my leadership meetings with the new president of the council, M.C. Keegan-Ayer, and with the new vice president of the council, Michael Blue. So they both seem to be very good to work with. Obviously, I've worked with MC for a long time, and I'm getting to know Michael Blue, and he seems to be a really nice person. So we may not always agree on everything, but I think that we'll have a great working relationship.
Well, we're counting on that.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're counting on it. Not always getting along, and that makes for great talk radio, but and also getting along, I guess. You know how we are here.
I know. I think we're going to have a little less of the showmanship we've seen over the past with a few people no longer being council members. And so I don't know what the bloggers will write about. It won't be quite as entertaining. You'll have to look a little harder for something.
You never know. Maybe that bullseye then becomes all steady on you. Let's hope not. Let's talk about the budget process, because that's kind of what we're in right now. And you touted the fact that there was a $9 million windfall that is part of the upcoming cycle. Now, of course, I think you and I might have differences of opinions on what to do with that money and how we got to that point. But $9 million is a lot of money. What do you plan on doing with that?
Well, that money is, I will tell you, every year we have a positive fund balance. So what is that fund balance created from? We generally project our revenues conservatively. So generally we have a little bit more revenue than we projected. And we also generally don't spend all the money that's in the budget. So we control our spending, and that ends up having this positive fund balance. And it rolls forward in the budget every year. Actually, we carry it over not to the next year, but the year after that. So we have a positive fund balance of some number, not too dissimilar from this $9 million. Almost every budget year. Now, I did want to say I didn't even actually highlight this as a point during my annual report. This was something that was picked up by the Frederick News Post, and it's something they wrote about. So this is no different than if you look at the state of Maryland. The state has seen about a $500 million surplus, and they actually have about $1 billion of unspent money, and they're putting a fair amount of that into the rainy day fund. So what we have to look at is how much of this is unusual, how much of it is one-time money, and how we should either best spend it or allocate it or save it or return it to the taxpayers. So those will all be things that we'll talk about during the budget cycle.
So for people, even myself, and I think that most of the budget is generated from property taxes and other taxes. But what other streams of revenue that you can just, off the top of your head, tell us where money comes from?
We have two other primary streams of revenue. One is, the other one is income taxes. That's the second biggest source of revenue. And most of the positive balance here actually does come from income tax revenue coming in over budget, and it's harder to predict than property taxes. We're usually pretty close on the property tax calculation. And we also have recordation taxes, and that fluctuates as well, and that is a fee that is collected on real estate transactions, and it's similar to a transfer tax. We don't have a transfer tax in Frederick County, but it's on all recorded deeds, and so that money will fluctuate with the economy. So those are those three sources of revenue are about 90% of our revenue: property taxes, income taxes, and recordation taxes. And so what's left is, well, actually, income taxes and property taxes are probably about 89% of our revenue. And so when you add recordation taxes, probably up over 95%. And the rest of it would be miscellaneous things, fees that we charge for permits and those kinds of things. So two out of three of those income tax sources are really impossible to predict exactly. So we tend to be more conservative. And most jurisdictions right now have seen revenue be a little bit better than what they projected. Now, exception to that is Montgomery County. And, you know, Montgomery County is looking at a $44 million deficit. So they're going in to cut their budget right now. So one of the advantages of making conservative estimates versus optimistic estimates is you don't find yourself in that situation.
Would you like to change the way we do property taxes when it comes to, you know, you mentioned transfer tax. And when it comes to property, right now it's only, I'm trying to think of the word now, when it comes to building a new home, it's a, the tax on that.
Are you talking about the impact
fee as opposed to a transfer tax? I mean, you mentioned transfer tax. Would you rather do away with the impact fee and go with a transfer tax, or you know, or would you also like to add a transfer tax if given the opportunity?
No, I don't think we need to add a transfer tax. The recordation fee is similar to that.
Okay.
And so I think we already effectively have it in a little bit different form. And so what I'd love to see us be able to do is to have a sliding scale on an impact fee. And so fees have to be charged as a flat amount. Everybody has to pay the same thing. It has to have a relationship to what you're charging it for. So it has to be justified. So if we charge an impact fee for a school seat, you have to be able to show the math that it equals the cost of providing that school seat. If you could have a sliding scale, and a tax can be a sliding scale or a fee cannot be, and so that you could have so many square feet, say, free, and then so many square feet at one price. And then, so basically, you would have, that would help your affordable housing. You would have a lower fee on a smaller sized house.
Can you hang on for a little bit?
Sure.
We'll have more with the county executive, Jan Gardner, coming up on the Morning News Express. Six 34 at WFMD. Let's continue our conversation with the county executive, Jan Gardner, on Free Talk 930 WFMD, and of course on the app at WFMD.com. So we were talking about the budget, Ms. Gardner, and one of the things that I know that the budget process is kind of happening now, and I like to liken it to the begathon, where we get a lot of people coming in and saying, hey, this is where we need money. This is, we want money here. We want money there. And your priorities when it comes to the budget, what do you look at? I mean, I saw an article where, you know, it was like the arts and other, you know, and education, of course. We always know that education has a very large contingent, and they're very well organized to come and tell you that they need more and more money for education. So where is your priorities when it comes to the budget?
Well, the top priorities in our budget are education, public safety. That's pretty much true every year. For the upcoming budget, we'll want to, on the education side, complete the fourth year of the four-year transition to a new pay scale for teachers and other school employees. We've implemented three of the 4 years so far. So that'll be a priority on the education front. And we certainly do need to make sure we have the best teachers in the classroom. I think that's what's most important for making sure we deliver outstanding public schools. And I will say, if you look at the Maryland report card that came out recently, where they did the star ratings, We did really well in Frederick County public schools. 85% of our schools were 4 and 5 stars, and we had no 1 and 2 stars. So we really ranked very well there. So I think people do get a good bang for their buck in Frederick County in terms of public education. And then public safety is next. We've certainly, those two things, education, public safety, take up about 75% of our budget. So we'll see what the sheriff has in terms of a request. We'll also look at firefighters. Firefighters are obviously out looking for a new pay scale. And we'll look at 911, where we've been trying to add a few more call takers every year to make sure that we meet the call demand that we're experiencing in 911. As the county grows, obviously our call volume also grows there. So you'll see a lot of active debate on all the public safety front last year, and I assume we'll have similar debate this year. And then after that, you know, we do have highways and parks and seniors and a variety of other areas of county government that may or may not ask for additional money. And one of the areas where we're seeing a lot of activity is with our senior services division. We do have a lot of seniors calling in, looking to be connected to resources, and we need to make sure we can answer the phone and provide that assistance to people, because generally our seniors don't want to be put on one of those automatic dial things, and I don't like them. So I need to make sure that we can be as responsive as we can to seniors. Our traditional Department of Aging, which is now Senior Services, it's really the go-to place for people who are looking for help with signing up for Medicare or a variety of other things. So we really are the kind of the go-to place there for people in our community. So I see those as three big areas of discussion. And certainly I think the county council will talk about, you know, what does the citizens want us to see? That's why I had a public hearing last week, is what do people want to see in the budget? What do they not want to see in the budget? And, of course, we generally hear that people want to see something more in the budget.
All right, we got to take another break. We'll have more with the County Executive, Jan Gardner, coming up on the Morning News Express. But now, 641 at WFMD. Let's kind of wrap up our conversation with the County Executive, Jan Gardner, here at the Morning News Express. And lots to talk about. Yeah, but you were talking about the budget process, and you're talking about education. A couple questions there. How much more over the maintenance of effort are you planning on giving education this year? Because that, of course, obviously adds to the bottom line and makes it a new maintenance of effort line. So how much more are we expecting this year? And has that been something that you, when you talked about your plan, your four-year plan, is that something that you had laid out before and I just don't realize it?
Well, I will fund above maintenance of effort. How much, I can't tell you yet, because I haven't seen enough information to really answer that. And I won't actually receive the request from the Board of Education until the end of February. So the Board of Education will kick off their budget process officially, I believe, on January 7th. And so, you know, I can't specifically answer that. But to make sure that we fund that fourth year of the salary pay scale transition will require us to fund above maintenance of effort. And we've been able to do that for each of the last 4 years. And we really do have some catching up to do. I did look at where we stand in comparison to other counties with teacher salaries over the past, with a 3-year phase in. You know, we're still not where we need to be. I mean, our target is to be about the middle of the road in the state. And so we're not trying to be the top. We will never be the top in terms of salary, but we need to make sure that we aren't at the bottom either. So, for instance, our starting salary for teachers is still less than Washington County, so we should be competitive with Washington County.
But you can't, that bothers me when that kind of stuff happens, because when we get to the top scale, we're pretty good. And we always hear about how we're losing the, you know, people just coming in. There's really no, and in my opinion, there's really no oversight. It's everybody gets a raise or nobody gets a raise. And that, to me, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. And I never have been, and I never will be. And as the county executive and the overseer of the finances for the county and the taxpayers who you represent, and those also include the teachers, you know, you just hand over a big lump of money and say, okay, here it is, and the Board of Education says, yeah, we'll hand, and those also include the teachers, but there's really, you have no control once you hand it over. And that's the county taxpayers' money, and I think there should be some oversight to how that money is spent.
Well, that money is audited every year. The Board of Education is audited, and you do have elected members of their Board of Education who are responsible for providing some of that oversight. Now, I meet regularly with the superintendent and with the Board of Education, and we do generally have an understanding of how and where that money will be spent, and that is how and where that money is spent. So we don't generally just pass over money and have them spend it dramatically different or even a little bit different than what they said they would do. So there is some trust involved in that, but they have lived up to that. And I think it's important to note with this pay scale transition that not everybody's getting the same raise. You are correct that people who have been in the county for longer in teaching have a more competitive salary. So it's really lifting the bottom and the middle more so than the top. So it isn't an even percentage raise for everybody.
We're talking with the county executive, Jane Gardner, here in the Morning News Express. So let's see, I got that question. So my other question is, you have part of your plan when you were elected, and some of your, I still have, and I don't know why I've saved it, but some of your when you were running, some of the stuff that I got in the mailers and stuff talked about you were going to do no new housing. So my question is, are you going to put a moratorium on building in Frederick County, and that doesn't affect the already in the pipeline, correct?
Yes. I'm not putting a moratorium in place. That's a different
thing. Well, isn't that when you sit there and say no new housing? Isn't that kind of putting a moratorium on housing?
It says we're not going to approve any more housing and add it into our pipeline. We already have a pipeline of housing of over 20,000 housing units between what's approved in the county and approved in the city of Frederick. And so we do not need to add to that. And that was my point during the election. We don't need to rezone any more land for housing. Over the last 4 years, over the first term, the only housing that we added was senior housing in Urbana. So we may still need to do some senior housing or affordable housing or something unique like that. We may see some of our small towns want to have a little bit of housing in our rural areas, but which, of course, would be up to them, not to the county. But we do have a pipeline of housing that really came from 6 or 7 years ago when there was massive rezoning in the county, and we need to figure out how we're going to provide infrastructure to support what was already approved. And we need to do that and do a good job of that rather than add to that housing pipeline.
I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily a big fan of new housing in Frederick either. I'm just asking the question.
So what I think you'll see from this board and what we've talked about as a priority is increasing our investment out of our existing recordation taxes for agricultural preservation. And that is a way to permanently keep some of the development out of our rural areas. And we also, as part of that, need to make a concerted effort to try to keep agriculture a viable industry in Frederick County. And so you will see us pull together people in the farm community and the agriculture business community to talk about what we can do to better support the viability of agriculture in Frederick County. As you probably know, farmers have had a tough couple of years. Commodity prices are down, and we've had terrible weather. So, we certainly can't control the weather, but it's been a pretty tough time for our farm community. So we can't just do the land preservation. We also have to try to make sure we support diversification and helping our farmers to the extent that we can do that locally.
Much as I love farming, some people would say, is that really the government's role? Obviously, you think it is.
Well, I think we should make sure from a zoning standpoint that we allow some diversification and that we help support our farmers through that process. We do have an agricultural economic development specialist, and I think the farm community is very supportive of that. And they certainly supported us doing that. And so I think you'll find support in the agricultural community for that. So I think a few things that are happening right now that I'd like to mention to you and to your listeners.
We got to make it quick because we're over time.
Okay, the Planning Commission meets today. I expect them to put the Livable Frederick out to a second round of public hearings before it will go to the County Council so people can stay tuned for that. And tomorrow, we are going to break ground on Frederick County Government's first solar project, which will be by our wastewater treatment plant in Ballinger McKinney down along the river east of 85. So I thought I would tell you those two things. And if we're done, I'll say Merry Christmas to you and your family, Bob.
Well, I was going to say the same thing to you.
And all your listeners, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Thank you very much, County Executive Jan Gardner, on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Now let's get a look at your 930 WFMD traffic for Mid-Maryland commuters. Diana Gibson has the details.
Disabled vehicle, 15 northbound at Interstate 70. Use caution. Slowing on Tuesday.